morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Penny C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, and this is the 10 a.m. meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 14, the second paragraph. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, and we're going to read and share on that paragraph only. Now, I have some reference numbers for you. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, March 19th, the 10 a.m. meeting, is 12,676, 12676. And the share code for this morning, Wednesday, March 20th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12,678, 12678. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. This is our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Martha S. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous for us.
Good morning. This is Martha S., compulsive overeater in upstate New York. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Martha S. And now I'm going to ask Chrissy Jane K. to please read the 12 traditions for us.
This is Chrissy Jane K. from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a compulsive overeater. Traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except when matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity as a level of press, radio, films, other public media of communications, YouTube, and Facebook. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to give service, and with this, I pass.
Chrissy Jane Kay, thank you so much. Now, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you press star 1 to unmute. Then once you are done sharing, please let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute yourself. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's must be muted. Today we are reading from page 14 in Bill's story. We're reading the second paragraph that begins with these were revolutionary and drastic proposals. So I'm going to call on Pia S. to start us off this morning. Pia?
Good morning, Tennessee. This is Pia S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory, followed by such a peace and serenity I had never known. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. And this is a very powerful paragraph. And I'm thinking about how when I came into program and my and I got a sponsor and she told me that I needed to work through the steps and I freaked out. I felt like they were pretty radical. It was, you know, suggestions that I like that I should share my my innermost secret with someone and also making amends to people that I hurt. I just felt like it was, you know, very scary to do that. But I trusted her and I surrendered to the process and I did the footwork. And the result was tremendous. You know, going through the steps, I felt more and more lifted up. And definitely going through and making amends, I felt like I definitely felt a victory here. And God, he came to me gradually, and he comes every day if I let him in. But I have to connect, and I still can feel, you know, and be surprised how he works through me and how he solves my problem. But I mean, I still feel disconnected sometimes and lost. So then I got to see what's going on. I got to plug in, and in the morning I am unplugged. I wake up without a conscious connection, so I plug in through prayer and meditation. I'm like a vacuum cleaner. I won't work if I'm not plugged in to a power source. So that's how I function. I can't be of service and fulfill my purpose if I am not plugged in. And because I need a power that is greater than myself. I the vacuum cleaner doesn't work on self-will. It works on a power source. And so that's what I need in my life today. And this program has had a major impact on my life. And it wasn't sudden that God came, but it's definitely profound. And for that, I pass. Thank you so much for your service, Penny.
Thank you so much, Pia. And now I'm going to take some names for people who would like to share. Could you please, I know there's a little distraction in the background. I've taken care of that, I hope. Whoever would like to share, please tell me your name, and I'll do my best to get them all. Hello?
Shawnee B.
Shawnee? Yes?
Dana K.
Anyone else? Please.
Dana K.
Dana K.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Jana M.
Is it Jenna?
Jana, yes.
Jana.
Yeah, like Dana with a J.
Okay. Is it M?
Yes.
All right. Okay, we can start with those four. Shawnee B., will you start, please?
Good morning. This is Shawnee B., compulsive overeater. And I actually just decided I wanted to share because the past share really, like, hit me like a lightning bolt about, like, being plugged in. I have been like all over the place this morning. I have a Jewish holiday coming up. And as much as this morning, you know, I got down and I just asked God to be with me and whatever his will is to be, I just keep thinking, oh, I still have to do all this stuff. And that share really like struck me deeply that I can't get it done without a power greater than myself. And in regard to the share that, I'm sorry, in regard to the reading from the big book, I feel like I'm here in recovery today because of those very still, very like, how should I say, like those profound moments where I truly can feel a higher power, a power greater than myself that is shifting and you know, creating sanity within this very unmanageable, you know, insanity that I face daily, which is, you know, I usually just wake up with like a bunch of fear about a bunch of different things. And throughout my day, I'm really led in like a truly profound way. And so for me, it's not so much like, you know, like, wow, it's more of like just a serenity that I've never really experienced before. For me, I feel like my ego, it has a lot of like the highs and the lows, but this godly power within me is much more calm and just still. And that actually feels tremendous. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. And now Dana K.
Good morning. This is Dana K., gratefully recovered in Liberty, Missouri. Penny, would you please time me this morning? So on this paragraph...
Yes, I'm doing that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. This paragraph to me just oozes hope. And I wanted to talk on, there was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I had never known. And reading this today, I was thinking about that I was made for more and that you were made for more, that we are made for more than just living our lives day by day, being a slave to the food, that I'm made for more than being caught in the desperation that I experienced of trying and trying and failing over and over for days upon days to put that food down. And I was made for more than living a defeated life. You know, and so the question that kind of came to me this morning was, you know, if I'm still in the food, you know, how do I escape? You know, what's the answer? How do I get this victory, this sense of victory that Bill talks about, you know, with peace and serenity and, you know, there's a mountaintop and there's wind blowing and it just sounds so awesome, but it also seems a little impossible. So, you know, what's the answer here? And for me, the revolutionary and drastic proposal was the first step is to admit my powerlessness over food and the unmanageability of my life by me. And as I do that, as I do the very opposite thing which kept me in the food, which was myself, my ego, my own power, is I admit that powerlessness. And I use a tiny bit of faith that maybe it's just the faith I get from hearing the recovered people on the line. Maybe it's the faith that, you know, that I was made for something more than a cycle of defeat. That I have that little bit, a little bit of courage. And I take that first baby step, that teeny tiny baby step for step one of our program. And I have a sponsor, and I begin the work of the program. And as I go through each step, steps 1 through 12, I experience what Bill talks about. I experience this utter confidence, this freedom, this peace and serenity that come. And I think that I believe we're all uniquely made in the image of our Creator. And so each of us may have a different path to understanding who our power, you know, our greater power is. And so it's okay if you're not sure of this God concept yet, and if this is all a little confusing and sounds a little out there, it will come to you. And for Bill, it was profound and sudden, and that is for some of us like that. And for others of us, it comes gradually. So today, I just want to surrender to the idea that I am powerless, and I am powerless not over food, but
I'm Dana.
Of my life. And I thank you so much, and I grab this hope that's in this paragraph today, and with that I pass.
Thank you so much, Dana K. Now, Reggie O., your turn. Reggie O.
Hi, thanks.
There you are.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks so much for your service this morning. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And I'm just so grateful to be here. And these paragraphs are they're amazing, each and every one of them. I think they change every time I read through them, and they just grow richer and deeper. But the, you know, these are revolutionary and drastic proposals. They totally are from the ways, you know, that I was living before I ever heard of these programs. And, you know, I've said often playfully, but also truthfully, I'm glad I didn't know what I was getting into when I came into program. If someone had really told me everything, you know, that I would go through when I walked in the door, I don't know that I would have done that. You know, you're going to change your life. You're going to do this, do that. The self-centeredness above in the paragraph above, it meant destruction of self-centeredness. And it's really, you know, for me, it's so interesting the way self-centeredness shows up, you know, and my self-centeredness, which used to be so much about, you know, giving myself away and trying to be there for other people and, you know, take more responsibility than was mine, you know, gradually turned into a self-centeredness that was really challenging to get over. And I've had I have a history of chronic relapse. And I remember when the last sponsor that I'm currently working with and went through the steps with, she said early into our time together, she said, you know, she said, I feel like my job with you is really to bring you to God in the way that you need to be with God, you know. And I've always, yeah, and that really is it. I mean, I really have to give over to something bigger than me. And that has been that surrender, which continues to happen and needs to happen on a daily basis, doesn't always, but it's becoming more and more a way of life, is something I never even could imagine before, you know, like what that feels like to give something over to a power greater than myself, to let go of the reins, you know. It's kind of like, I don't know, like free fall, or, you know, I was thinking the other day, it's like that, you know, like the third step for me, that last step from bridge to shore, that's a leap of faith. That's going from yet the known to the unknown, where I've made a decision to give it all over. And there are hands, you know, thank goodness all of the hands and the hearts of people here in this program have been out there ready to hold me. But, you know, when I had this sense of facing this chasm, you know, having my breath taken, you know, as I'm in the sort of free fall mid-air, is this really going to catch me, you know? There's quite a bit of faith that's required for that, and then making the jump, you know, making the leap, whatever that leap is. And the moment I fully accepted them is so powerful for me. And I, you know, I read again on page 42 in the story of Fred, he says something similarly. The moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. And so, you know, the decision, making up my mind once I fully, and, you know, as the spiritual experience talks about, that comes sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly when we have that awakening. And it's just an amazing way to live and be, and it's one that I have to really be conscious of and work with and live every day. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Jane M. And now I'm ready to take some more names of people who would like to share.
Stephanie N.
Stephanie N.
Mary
M.
Mary, last initial Mary?
H.
H.
Jaina M.
Jaina, did you just share?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I think he skipped over me.
That was Reggie O.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
You're going to be first then. You'll be before.
Okay.
Before Stephanie. Okay. Thank you for your indulgence here. Who else?
Here.
Deb
Sarah
M.
Well, I had someone M.
Dez, D-E-Z.
Yeah, Dez. And one other person I heard.
Sherry K.B.
Sherry?
Sherry K.B.
A.B. Okay, and we're going to go start now with Jaina, with my apologies again.
Can you hear Tracy R.?
Okay, Tracy R., that will be it. Thank you. Okay, Jane is going to...
All right, thank you so much for your service, Penny, and good morning, visionaries. This is Jaina M. in Phoenix, Arizona. And, you know, when I first read this paragraph the first time, I thought, yes, that's it. This is what I'm here for. This is what I want. I want victory, peace, serenity, as I've never known them. Sign me up. Utter confidence. Sign me up. Lifted up on the mountaintop. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. That was definitely going to be my story. You know, I was not going to be one of, like, most men who God comes to gradually. I'm a lifelong student of spirituality. I've worked in a spiritual capacity in my career. God's going to come to me fast, and God's going to come to me at once. I've had all these, like, mountaintop experiences and nature and all this. Like, I know God. I got this. God's like, okay, yes, sign me up for this. And then I really, really dug into the program. I first came in 2013, but I only have really properly been in recovery for a year now. And, I got in and just gung-ho, you know, guns blazing, let's do this, serenity, yes. But then the more that I got in, the harder it kind of got for me a little bit. There was this period of time early in my recovery where things were getting worse. I thought one plus one equals two, right? The more of this I do, the more people I call, the more meetings I go to, the more peace and serenity I'm going to get. Each one just, you know, like a bank account. You just keep adding to it and it grows. Well, I got to learn this last year that that's not how recovery works for me. It's not a linear path. It's more of like a spiral and a cycle, and I come in and I go out. And for me this year, I've given up my terminal uniqueness and recognize that I am like most men. You know, God has come to me gradually, but deeply and truly and profoundly. And, you know, each miss has opened up the door for me to experience a win and more victory. So just keep at it. Keep going. Be patient with yourself. If you're new in the program, be patient with the program. Because while our disease always gets worse, never better, our recovery always gets better, never worse, as long as we stick with it. So thanks for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jaina M. Stephanie N., it's now your turn.
Hi, this is Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas, and the line that stood out to me is, there was utter confidence. And I was thinking about that, how he found God, and suddenly he had this confidence, and it was complete confidence is how he describes it. And he also describes having peace and serenity that he had never known before. And I was thinking about my experience with that, and I used to live in self-reliance, and I had no peace or serenity. I was running the show, and I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so I was really lacking that confidence. I felt afraid most of the time, and I didn't have a lot of peace. And the peace that I did have was when I felt that I was manipulating things to go my way, that I was getting my way, and I felt a little bit of happiness there, but it wasn't real happiness. It wasn't real peace or serenity, because I was waiting, like I said, for that other shoe to drop. But since I have found my higher power, and since I've learned to follow this path, I do have peace and serenity most of the time. And when I don't, I know how to find it. I know how what I need to do to realign myself with my higher power. And because of that, I do have confidence, because it's no longer me running the show. It's my higher power, and I have trust in my higher power. You know, it's not this finite person doing everything now. It's this infinite higher power, and I feel safe and protected. And I'm so grateful for this way of life. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie N. And now, Mary H., are you there?
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. And if you could time me, that would be super. So I just felt called to sort of, to just kind of dig into this a little bit in terms of what we read yesterday and kind of before. So these were revolutionary and drastic proposals. Like, that's not a general idea, that specifically that it's talking about how when Ebi came to Bill, he promised that when these things were done, he would have a new relationship. You know, belief in the power of God, enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things. These were the essential requirements. Like, what does that look like for me? Gosh, you know, that's a lot of steps 10 and 11 in terms of how things are continuing to go. And simple but not easy, a price had to be paid, destruction of self-centeredness, and I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. You know, and like a page ago, you know, Bill is struggling with this idea of all of his old prejudices about God. And so how does that relate to me? You know, I came in here without a lot of issues around believing in a higher power. But I'll take, you know, this week, for instance, which is that I'm doing another inventory and it's showing me some things that are really old and big and feel a little overwhelming. You know, I know enough to know that I can't change these things myself. And this destruction of self-centeredness also means that that higher power has to be bigger, you know, and so there's a sense of victory, followed by a peace and serenity as I had never known, and that it came sudden and profound. Well, what does that look like for me, which is it's coming gradually, you know, just like one conversation at a time, talking about how this is hard, but that I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to try to stay close and connected to stay safe and protected. And that when I do those things, then I do have a sense of peace amidst the chaos, you know, of uncovering some of these behaviors that I didn't even know I was doing despite my best intentions, and I have no idea how I could ever make amends for them. But that's where I am, and that's what this amazing program does, because I am safe and I'm going to be okay. And I'll trust the process, and I'll keep walking, and I'll get my sense of victory. I'll take the peace, and, you know, and I'll come back in whatever amount of time that it takes, and I'll tell you all about the victory that I get to feel over this one. It's happened to me in the past for other things, and I know it can work for me again. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary H. Des M.
Hi, good morning. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, this is Des M. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Des M., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. I'm super grateful to be on the line. Thanks for everyone's service. It's really a beautiful thing to be becoming more familiar with visionary names and becoming more like a face-to-face meeting for me and hearing fellows that I know face-to-face and have talked to. So I'm really grateful for that. And that's part of my spiritual experience, just like we're reading about Bill's, right? Like I listened to this line probably, I don't know, a couple times in the past year, but it was, you know, other than, and like you were different than me. And I didn't know how I could experience the closeness, kind of just like when I came into my first 12-step program like 7 years ago. I had no idea that this spiritual experience would happen for me. And it was electric. It's gradual for me. You know, I've worked the steps many different times, but in the last few months through vision, and I felt lifted up, you know, and that just really stuck out to me. I've felt lifted up before. I feel like spoke to me that before I felt lifted up when, you know, I attached a cute shirt or, you know, a degree that I hold or a car that I drove. Like I felt lifted up because I had these things or I had people in my life or a really nice cheesecake or something. But working these steps, like I'm lifted up by getting through the day with challenges and being able to do 10 steps and going to God. And I've heard it before in a meeting, you know, some days I don't necessarily feel the nearness of my creator in my emotional sense, but I know deep down inside me that my creator is there. But in this human form, you know, it doesn't look like that. So I get to pick up the tools, call a fellow, be reminded, you know, and that's electric. Like, you know, I feel so blessed today that we have this program that we get to work. It's free. It's a safe place to be. And like, you know, I'm living on this spiritual plane today and getting to walk through things that I never thought I would walk through and get to carry the message. And, you know, hearing other fellows like share for the first time on this line is so exciting. Like you don't have to necessarily sponsor people. You just carry the message and get close to people and share, you know, where you are in the steps and your experience. And it's just like a beautiful thing and it fills my heart up. So I'm so grateful to be working this program and I hope everyone has a beautiful day. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Diz. Sherry KB? Sherry, it's your turn.
Penny, good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Penny, and everybody on the line, and welcome any newcomers. You know, to me, revolutionary means, you know, I love looking up words, and revolutionary means characterized by, you know, and producing radical change, extreme change. So that means that for me, and the proposals are the 12 steps, that means that when I do this work, I'm going to have radical changes in my life as far as my own thinking and believing and accepting. And accepting them fully means for me is living in the steps. First of all, first putting the food down, working the steps, and living in the steps, that I'll have an effect that will happen to me. Not like Bill, because my personal belief is Bill was in a hospital. He was going through withdrawals. He was given certain drugs to help him. And, you know, that's, to me, in my own personal belief, is why Bill had this amazing lift up and all that good stuff. And you know, for me, I know that I just had the educational variety type that they talk about in the spiritual experience, in the appendix that we read about spiritual experience. So for me, I do recall giving away my fifth step when I did it in this book this way and followed the directions, that I sensed this amazing peace in me. I really did. And I did feel that peace and serenity that I had not felt before in other work that I've done, frankly. And then what I noticed is because I continued to do the work, that I continue this, you know, our whole idea is to continue to enlarge our spiritual life. So with living in these steps, you know, working the steps, working with a protege in the book constantly, it goes deeper and deeper and keeps opening me up. That's been my experience. And I really believe that my higher power is there for me 24/7. it's in the asking. That's what I get. It's in the asking. I have to invite my higher power in. My higher power just doesn't jump in. My higher power is there, and especially when I'm doing the step work, especially when I am being of service to other people. When I live in 10, 11, and 12, you know, one of the biggest parts about 10 is not only just taking my inventory, but also making sure I resolutely turn my thoughts to help other people. That way God can get in there and clear out the junk, clear out all that fear, doubt, insecurity, restless, irritable, and discontent that happens because I know it's about me and me being disturbed. And I do believe that's what happens, and it just gets better and better. And I do believe in comparing myself to myself when I came in and not to you. And I'm grateful for all this. Thank God for God, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Tracy R.
Hi, my name is Tracy R., and I am in Cornville, Arizona. This is my first OA meeting, so I am so grateful to be a recovering overeater. I have some time in another fellowship, and I guess this is what a beautiful reading for your first meeting of OA, you know. I'm sitting here on my couch just sobbing because I'm so thankful. I have felt like, you know, I have some few 24 hours in this other program, and for a while I've been, you know, I sponsor other women, and I've been in this place where anything I read, anything that, you know, is good, I feel like I'm reading it to tell somebody else. But today, right now, I'm here as a newcomer, and this is for me. And I felt like a part of me with my eating, I have a beautiful spirituality. I spend a lot of time in prayer and meditation, but there's a piece of me that's been hanging out of that envelope. It wasn't in there. It wasn't enveloped by God. And today I've just surrendered for the first time that part of me. And I do feel that revolutionary and drastic feeling. I just feel so thankful. My friend has told me about these meetings and gave me the information to call in. And I'm so grateful to hear strong women with strong recovery there. And for me to sit here in utter raw humility, you know, and be a newcomer and just be willing to dive in and just feel so grateful that that other part of me is finally in the envelope. And I'm super grateful. And I just wanted to share so that you guys know I'm here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tracy R., and we're happy that you're with us, too. And now I'm ready to take some more names. We have time for probably two, maybe three more people. Who would like to take those spots?
Dana B.
Captain Joe P.
Dana B. Who else?
Brittany O.
Brittany. All right, we're going to go with Dana and Brittany, and then we'll see how much time we have left. Dana B.
Okay, I am now unmuted. Mine will be very short. I'm a newcomer also. Yesterday was my first meeting with you. And I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who reached out to me. I haven't been able to return everybody's messages, but I want you to know how grateful I am. I got a sponsor yesterday, and it was my first day of not eating compulsively. I've done lots of other first days before, but this is the first time I haven't done it by myself. And I woke up, it was a hard day yesterday physically, but today, I have new hope. I feel like I'm finally surrendering that, I can't eat food like other people. I know that sounds like, you know, basic, but I truly never admitted that to myself. But I really just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all the texts or calls and messages, and I am working to message everyone back, and that's all. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana B., and congratulations on getting a sponsor and your abstinence. And now, Brittany O. Brittany O.
Hello. Hi.
Can you speak up a little bit more, Brittany?
Oh, yeah, sure. Is this better?
Thank you. Wonderful.
My name is Brittany O, and I'm a compulsive eater. I'm also new, and I am just very thankful that I'm able to listen to these meetings while I work at my desk during the day. I do have a sponsor, and she's taking me through the steps, and I'm on step 10 and about to start step 11. I just wanted to announce myself as a newcomer and ask for some outreach calls or texts. I do feel like my connection with my higher power is really strengthening through doing the steps, and I feel like there's some changes happening, but they're not necessarily expressing themselves through consecutive days of abstinence. It's like I go one day on and then one day off and et cetera, or a couple days on and then a couple days off. And it's like, so that's kind of getting me down. I'm trying to just stand in faith that if I keep working the steps, you know, it's going to eventually the miracle will happen for me too. And I'm also go to AA, and those steps have worked for me to stay sober 3.5 years. So I know that the program does work and that there is hope. And I just wanted to express that I find that in OA, the spirituality level is just on another level compared to what I find in other programs. And I really, really appreciate that. It's like really feeding. My spirit was hungry for something else, and I didn't know where to turn to get that. I wasn't getting it in my other program, and so I'm very grateful to have found OA and the great emphasis that there is on the steps and the big book, and following these precise instructions. So thank you for letting me share, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Brittany O. And for anybody who has, say, in their newcomers and have not yet introduced themselves as newcomers, the greeter will be here shortly after one more quick share, so please stay on and give your name at that time. We have time for one more share. Who would like to take that?
Kathy Jo P.
Kathy Jo P. Go ahead, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, and I am loving this meeting today. It is electrifying listening to the recovered members share how God has moved in their life through these steps, and also the newcomers that are here hungry for what we have. And I so remember that almost 3 years ago, and the gift of desperation that came to me when I had been so lost in the disease of compulsive overeating and feeling so hopeless and so frustrated. And now just having the gift of abstinence and living in the solution rather than the problem, and living in steps 10, 11, and 12. And I love to say that I have the gift of having all of you available to me to call and to get in touch with when I need God and when I need to reconnect with my higher power, when I get blocked by my character defects, my selfishness, my fears. That I have all of you available to me is like beyond belief a gift. That I can live in the solution, and not be alone and that I can help others. And I am, again, so excited about the people on the line today that are sharing. That is such a gift to us. You are helping us. And I am here to help any of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
We don't hear you, Penny. Penny C.
Thank you. I'm back. Thank you, everybody, for sharing today, everybody who read, people who just were there to listen. Thank you so much. And now we're going to close and on page 164 with the reading from the big book, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And Leslie W. is going to do that for us. Leslie?
Yep. Thanks, Penny. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Be to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.